Polina Leibovich. Story read for us by Sarah Kesselman in London. In March of 2004, Natalia Fomina traveled from her home in Odessa to Chisinau and spent 2 weeks seeking out elderly Jews who would share their life stories with her. One afternoon, she knocked on the door of Polina Leibovich, who was living in the center of town in a large apartment. A 79-year-old widow, Polina sat at her dining room table, and over sweets and glasses of tea, she began talking. Natalia then returned the following day, and a third time. Here are the highlights of what Polina Leibovich told Natalia.
I can tell you that the Chisinau of my childhood in the 1920s wasn't so big. There was an upper and a lower town. The lower town was a poor and dirty neighborhood, but the upper town was quite fashionable. There were posh stores on Alexandrovskaya Street. Now it's Stefan Selmari and smaller shops too. Horse-drawn cabs and trams ran along Nikolaskaya or Kolumna Street, as they call it now, and I still remember how the drivers rang their bells as they rumbled along. Dong, dong. I grew up in a religious, traditional home, and I adored my brother Shimi. He had a special bearing, royal and athletic. Shimi went to the University of Bucharest in 1936, but there was much anti-Semitism and Shimi was getting in such fights, he finally had enough. He came back to us and said he was going to Palestine. Palestine is my home, he said, not Romania. He left when he was 20 in 1938. It was months before we heard from him, so my mother and I went to a fortune teller. He'll be fine, she told us. He will have a happy life. That was not going to be the fate of those who stayed behind, and I was 16 years old when hell came to us. In the summer of 1940, the Soviet Union annexed Bessarabia, taking it away from Romania and occupying it. Overnight, my father was ruined. Other wealthy families like ours were deported to the Gulag, but not ours for some reason. But we lived in constant fear and had nothing to live on. We even leased a corner in our living room to a man from Russia. Then, just a year later, in the summer of 1941, the Romanians and Germans attacked the USSR. We were forced into the ghetto in Chisinau. And a few months later, all the inmates were taken across the Nest River into the Odessa region. My father was already very sick, and I managed to get a place in a train for him. It was the last time I saw him. My mother was with me. She was so weak she couldn't walk, and I finally ended up dragging her by her arms. On the way, the Romanians began shooting those who couldn't walk. They shot my mother. I started screaming so loud I tore my vocal cords and literally went mute. Somehow, in the panic, in the confusion and the shooting, I got away and ran as fast as I could, completely alone. It was snowing and there was wind. Couldn't see a thing. I knocked on the door of the first hut I saw. An old man's voice said, "Go away, they will kill me because of you." I ran into his cowshed and hid. Then in the morning, he came in to feed the cows. When he saw me, he yelled, "What are you doing here?" Then, suddenly and quietly, "You know, since you are here, you may as well come on in." They were an old Ukrainian couple. I stayed there for 2 weeks before I restored my voice with hot milk and honey. This farmer told me First, I want you to go to the village of Bobrik and ask for Batko, the secretary of the village council. Tell him I sent you, and he should give you a document with a stamp that you are baptized and from a children's home in Odessa. Second, go to Yushiha Belinskaya, an old woman living on a farm, and tell her that I sent you. And that is what I did. And that's how I stayed alive until spring 1942. But one day, Yushiha Belinskaya told me a brother of hers was coming, and he would surely turn me in. She told me, run. I was captured in Bobrik. And then it was one thing after another. I managed to escape and ran away, and this would be my fate until spring 1944. One peasant after another took me in, protected me, lied for me. I found myself in places like Lubachevka and then in Galta. Both of these places are in Ukraine now. And finally, with the Soviet army coming in quickly, the Romanian army didn't have time for people like me. They were gone by spring of 1944. In the first quiet months after the war, I took a room with a farmer's family and started teaching in a village school. In 1945, I made my way to Chisinau. I was 21 years old, and I wanted to be in my hometown, even if my parents were dead. So were most of my friends. My brother Shimi wrote to tell me he would never leave Israel. I continued studying and took a part-time job in a dairy. That's where I met Boris Leibovich, a lovely, old-fashioned gentleman. I liked him right away. But love? I didn't have my own mother to talk with now, so I went to speak with Berta Yakovlevna, a wise woman, a friend. I told her that Boris was 9 years older than me, and I wasn't sure if I loved him. Berta wanted to meet him and see the two of us together. Afterwards, she said, Polina, he will make a wonderful husband. He's so tender with you. You are sure to love him. Boris and I got married in 1947. I wish I could say it was a happy event, but how could that be, knowing my parents weren't by my side? Our marriage, however, would turn out to be a good one, a loving one. Back in the communist decades, we couldn't really go to synagogue. In fact, the communists closed every synagogue in town except one. So on the high holidays, I would dress nicely and I would stand outside, just near it. That's as much as I dared. My son was born in 1949. I graduated from university, obtained a diploma in French language, and became a Moldovan teacher at a secondary school. I will never forget Stalin's doctor's plot. It struck fear in all of us. We were told that Jewish doctors were killers in white coats. I think it began in 1952 and got worse in the first weeks of 1953. Poor Berta, who had been so kind to me, her husband, a doctor, was taken away, and he perished in the camps. I saw Berta in the market one day. She looked a wreck. I went home, told my husband, and we gave Berta all the money we had on us. She left for Moscow to live with her son. When Stalin died in March, the doctor's plot ended, just like that. But the dead were gone. I didn't shed a tear for that man. Boris had a good job at the dairy, and the three of us went to the sea every year near Odessa. Boris was a wonderful father and taught our son to swim in the sea. while I stood on the seashore and did what I did best, I worried. My devoted husband Boris died in 1962, at 47, from cancer of the pancreas. I was only 38 then, but I never remarried. My son married and moved into military engineering in Central Asia. That left me to focus on my lifelong passion, teaching languages. When Gorbachev came to power, I had an impression that things would change and life would improve. He changed the world all right, but things got much worse, at least for older people, although since 1991 we do live in an independent country. The best thing is that for Jewish life in Chisinau, Jews sort of woke up. Young people take a big part in it. They arrange Sabbath celebrations. They sing Jewish songs. They have a club for young people. And they take care of the older people, like me. In the 1990s, I worked in two schools. I was teaching French in one school every morning, then ran over to an evening school to teach Moldovan. I loved my students, and they loved me. For some reason, I'm the kind of person you go to tell your problems to. I'm a bit shocked to realize that some of my old students are now in their 60s. I had a stroke a few years ago, and that was the end of my teaching career. For a little while, anyway. But soon I was teaching Moldovan again, and when I heard our Jewish community had started a kindergarten, I volunteered immediately. So I am back to teaching two jobs at 79 years of age. In the middle of every year, I tell the director of my school, Svetlana Mikhailovna, that I won't work next year. But she laughs and hugs me. You say that every year.
You have been listening to Sarah Kesselman, a veteran actor of the Royal Shakespeare Company, reading for us the story of Polina Leibovich. Polina was interviewed for Centropa by Natalia Fomina in 2004, and this episode was produced in Vienna by Moritz Bosworth. Our Moldovan podcast season was sponsored in part by the German Foreign Office. This is Edward Serrata. Thanks for listening.